Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
So, you're in deep negotiations with your two-year-old over whether they can wear a certain costume that they want to wear off to their preschool, or whether they can watch just a little bit more TV. And you feel to yourself, wow, what am I doing? Why don't I just put my foot down, say no, because then you know the inevitable tantrum comes. So where is that fine line? How do you discipline a toddler without sending them over the edge into full-on tantrum mode? My guest is Dr. Corinne Cross. She's a pediatrician and one of our favorite guests here on Healthy Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cross. Disciplining toddlers, yikes.
Yes, disciplining toddlers can be a headache at times, and it can really want to put you over the edge. But I think that what we need to do when we discipline toddlers is often you need to take a deep breath, and you need to not let their energy and anger fuel you. So you just have to remember that this is normal for them. It's a normal time where they need to test their autonomy, and you want them to be able to separate from you and make their own decisions. And sometimes we don't like those decisions, but we need to at least realize that this is a natural part of development, and that it's not that they're trying to be bad. And I think that if you remember that your children aren't trying to be bad, you can approach it from a more logical point. So what I tell parents is, think about what it is you're trying to teach your children. So if your child wants to go outside in sandals and it's raining, and you say, no, you can't wear those, and they say, no, I want to, and you say, you should wear your boots, well, they will get wet. But if they go outside in their sandals, they'll learn very quickly that they're going to get wet. So there are times when it's worth it to argue with them, and there's times when it's worth it just to let them figure things out on themselves. And so those are what we call natural consequences. And then there's logical consequences. So if you drop your food on the floor, you won't have your food, right? So those are natural consequences. So we try to think about ways so that we don't always have to discipline, that almost nature can do it for you. And so that sometimes parents want to stop that from happening. We don't want to let them be cold, even if it's for just a few minutes. But sometimes they need to learn that that's why we have these certain rules. That's why we put these coats on and that sort of thing. Now, that's not always going to work. So sometimes you do actually have to do timeouts or calm down corner, people call them. And, you know, that's absolutely, you know, a very useful way of disciplining a toddler.
Okay, now I want to ask you about this timeout and, you know, calm down corner, because it worked with one child of mine. It did not work with the other because she wouldn't sit there.
Right.
And she just wouldn't stay. And you feel like an abuser if you're like holding them in this place and they get up and they walk away from it. And you're like, get back there. And nothing seemed to work. It didn't matter what I took away or what I added in or what it didn't matter.
Right. Now, some kids are very, very persistent. And so those children are often more difficult. And what I like to think about, because I have three and one of them, my middle child, is that persistent child, I always think this is going to be very good for her when she gets older. It is going to be very good for her to have a mind of her own and for her to be this persistent. But right
keep
now,
that
it's very
positive
difficult.
Spin on it, right, Dr. Cross? Because,
exactly.
Boy, it's really hard to do anything else, and the anger wells up so badly. So how do you get that toddler to listen to you?
Well, what you want to make sure is that you only choose timeouts for very important behaviors. So you can only extinguish one or two behaviors with timeouts at a time. Otherwise, the child's going to be in timeout all the time. So if you pick aggression, okay, there is no hitting your sibling, period, and there's no warnings. You hit your sibling, you have a timeout. So for you, I wouldn't say that a calm down corner is the right place, because you don't want to make the timeout the issue itself. You want to pick a place where, okay, you know what, put you in your room, shut the door, and you're just going to turn around and you're going to let them, you know, totally, you know, mess up their room, whatever they need to do. You're not going to go in there and make the timeout the issue. If they're still in a crib, some people say don't put them in their crib because that you want it to be a safe place. I say throw them in their crib, because you know what? At least you're not going to be arguing about the timeout. And you make the timeout a short period of time, like a minute is long enough for a little kid to be upset. And you say to them, there's no hitting. There's no other discussion, just there's no hitting. And that's it. And if every time they hit, they're going to just be walked upstairs, put in their crib for a minute, and you're going to say no, eventually they're going to get being interrupted in what it is they want to do. So that's the way that I would do it. I mean, timeouts, sometimes you do have to, you know, work around it and not actually have a timeout. But I would say for most kids, if you interrupt what they're doing, then they stop. And that's another thing that parents don't do. They don't have action. So if you tell a kid, stop pulling the books off the shelf, you should actually walk over there if they don't stop and help them stop. Does that answer a little bit of your question?
It does. And while we're not here for my therapy session, it really it really does. And, you know, so your advice so far is that we have to really pick our battles, that we can use timeout calming down spots, that if you have to put them in the room or put them in their crib, that's what you have to do, but not to make that the focus. What about, you know, the triggers? We learn the triggers, the things that will trigger a reaction. Sleepiness, you know, hunger, those meltdowns, you know, are coming. So, you know, they've done something wrong and you're like, oh, if I do this, I know at this time of the night, it's going to cause this big meltdown. So when we know the triggers, Dr. Cross, then what do we do?
Well, I mean, we tell parents they have to be consistent, and that, of course, is the best way for children to learn. But then you also do have to understand that if you're taking your child out to a restaurant and they're absolutely hungry and it's an hour past their bedtime, that you may be asking too much for them. So you need to set realistic expectations. But that also means if you're taking a child out to a restaurant and it's a time when they're not that hungry and it's not late, that you tell them what you expect from them. So you set the expectations before going out to dinner. You don't expect that they know how to behave. You say things like, we're going to a nice restaurant. I expect you to sit in your chair. I don't expect you to throw your food on the floor, and I expect you to talk in a nice, calm voice like everybody else is there. So you let them know what's expected of them before they go, and then often they'll actually do what you're asking for them. Now, kids sometimes try to act up when they're out. I see lots of kids acting up in Target with their parents. What you can do is you can have a timeout placemat. You put this big placemat or this cloth napkin that you fold up, and you put it in your purse so the kids know that you're bringing the timeout with you. And if they act up, you take that out and you say, you're going to sit on this mat and have your timeout here. I've had to do it to one of my children in public, and I will tell you, she never acted up again because she thought it was so embarrassing. There she was, sitting in the aisle at CVS on a little placemat, looking at me like, are you kidding?
That's hilarious.
You're going to sit there. And that was it. And that was enough for all the other kids to see her and be like, I'm not doing that.
Well, and in that way, I'm lucky because my daughter, as strong-willed as she is, never wanted to be embarrassed in public. So her tantrums and her discipline issues were all right here at home. She saved all of her shtick for me. Thank you very much. But now if we are, for example, trying to put a child in a car seat and they don't want to do that, that is something that's a battle worth fighting because they have to be in their car seat. When it becomes a wrestling match, Dr. Cross, what do you do?
Well, there are certain things that are non-negotiable. So safety is not negotiable. And at that point, you just have to get them in their car seat. So, you know, if it's a child who takes a binky and it takes a binky, if it takes distraction, sometimes I let my kids hold the keys. And yes, they're opening and shutting the trunk while I'm trying to put them in. But I'm like, you know what? I have to get you in the car seat. And so sometimes you just have to fight the fight because that's what you have to do. But for other things, you have to think, is this a child who needs more time with transition? You can't expect a kid to want to just leave the park when you tell them. Maybe they are in the middle of a sandcastle, or maybe they're in the middle of a puzzle and you want to go out. So you have to say, do I have to give them a 5 minutes heads up? Or do I just have to acknowledge that it's hard? You can often say, I see that you're not done with that sandcastle, and I wish we had the time to finish it, but we don't have the time today. Maybe when we come back next time, we'll have more time and we can do more. Or we don't have time to finish the puzzle now. Let's leave it. When we come back, we can do some more before dinner. So sometimes just acknowledging the fact that they have their own plans for their day and their own ideas is enough to let them go along with you.
And that's great bits of advice. And remember, parents, stay calm. Know when to give in. Pick your battles. Some things are worth fighting over and some things are not. You can take that little timeout blanket with you. And if you have to embarrass them in public just a little, sometimes that does the trick. Remember to stay calm because it is easy to let your anger rise when you're in the throes of a meltdown with a toddler. But just stay calm. Have your partner help you, and then you can both do it together. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.